Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Saints, let's talk about whether or not it's necessary to understand Hebrew and Greek, the original languages that the Bible was translated from which the Bible was translated into English. Do we, today's New Testament saints, do we have God's Word, or do we need to know the original languages in order to understand it? Do we have God's sure Word to us, authenticated and translated to us in our language, or do we need to go learn two other languages? Let's talk about that, saints. And as a preface, I want to point out to you and remind you that in every corner, we not only understand what I'm getting ready to say from the Bible, that fallen man is just set upon uplifting himself, which is Antichrist, or in place of Christ. He has himself as a little small g God. We know that from our own sinful, evil bent that is now crucified with Christ. But we know that in our previous life, BC, if you will, before Christ made us new creatures, having saved us by his blood and regenerated us and brought us into his kingdom, we lived according to the dictates of the flesh, which we also still have and understand by our own knowledge of this, the bent of evil to exalt ourselves, when the mind of Christ is actually to exalt God and others above ourselves, right? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves, just like Christ did when he came to the earth to be born of a virgin in the body of a man in order to redeem fallen mankind. Amen. So in every, that's Philippians 2, by the way, I want to encourage you to read that chapter every morning for the next 3 days. Amen. In every corner of society, fallen mankind can be found seeking to lift himself above others. So this expose is just another example of this principle of how sinful, self-serving, self-righteous religious men and women, they have a mere form of godliness, seek to catapult themselves and elevate themselves above others. Just as the hell-bound scribes and Pharisees of Jesus' day did, and in whom he rebuked. Remember, Jesus said, Luke 11:52, "Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye are doctors of the law." I believe that's referring to the scribes and Pharisees, but it also applies to ancient and modern attorneys or lawyers. He says, "Woe unto you," because this rebuke, by the way, applies to both parties. "Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge." If you don't have a key to a home, you can't get in it. If you don't have a key to that home that contains things you need, money or your food, justice, or whatever, you're locked out. Okay, so get the picture here. He's rebuking the wicked religious leaders of his day for taking away the key of knowledge so that the average person can't access it, except they do it through this priesthood of wolves in sheep's clothing. Remember, Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees, namely, I believe the Pharisees in Matthew 23, three times in that chapter that they were going to hell. These were not children of God. They were those who posed as children of God and representatives of the Lord while they used that cloak to subvert the truth of God and the love and character of God. Amen. Matthew 23 is a great chapter to pore prayerfully over and look at all the specifics concerning this class of vile vipers. "Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge." Luke 11:52. That's going to be a verse you're going to want to grab, beloved, because you're going to see where this applies so often as we look upon the things around us. We want to look on them through the knowledge of God's word. Amen. Everything. You must see everything through the kingdom truth of God's word to see it for what it really is. That's the looking glass, the prism through which we see everything. So woe unto you, the rebuke is, to the lawyers or the scribes, Pharisees. This can be beheld in several realms of society, as I mentioned earlier. For you have taken away the key of knowledge. They seek to take away the key to knowledge so that they can keep people ignorant and arrogantly reign over them. Isn't that what we see with governments? How they keep people in the dark and rob them, extorting resources from them while they enslave them. They are traitors. I mean, you know, you can search this out yourself. They have sworn allegiance to the crown or the queen of England. And that's why they all have to have foreign agent registration acts. Isn't that interesting? So they reign over people by keeping them in the dark, by stealing the key to their house where they can't get back in and gain
access and
procure the items that they wanted, or into the government, or in this case, God. We can't understand God. We have to go through this priesthood who set their self-appointed, like the priesthood of the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, for example, would be another example here. To keep people ignorant is to be able to reign over them. And that's what communism also comes in to do. You know, this is all operated in every one of these realms by the prince of the power of the air, who deceiveth the whole world. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, Revelation 12, verse 9, the scripture says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And that's 1 Peter 5, 8. Also, Hosea 4, 6, "My people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge." So you got to look beyond. You got to search the truth in any of these realms, especially and most importantly in the only eternal truth of God concerning his word. And we need to stop seeing the Bible through what men say and study the raw word of God, the contents of it for ourselves, setting every notion and philosophy we've ever heard and or embraced aside and saying, "Lord, I want the constitution of my spirit, of my heart, of my mind to be only written purely and etched upon is the canvas of my heart and mind with the word of God, the constitution of God, which is the written word of God, and cry out to Jesus to give you understanding by his spirit who gave us the word of God. All scripture is what? Given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So again, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. And if that's been clouded, if that key's been stolen, in this message, we're going to talk about those who run around saying, you got to know the Hebrew and the Greek.
In other words, they're teaching that if you don't know the original language the Bible was written in, then you really can't understand it.
Well, we're going to flip that upside down and slam it into the dirt today here. So the same is true for lawyers, as I pointed out, concerning stealing the key of knowledge. And that's what they're doing when they say, "You need to know the Greek and the Hebrew." Yeah. You know what I ask them at that point? "Okay, go ahead. If you don't mind, quote one Bible verse. How about John 3:16? Or just take your pick. Genesis 1:1, take your pick. Go ahead and write out and quote, quote John 3:16, for example, in Greek or Hebrew. I'm waiting."
And if you can't do that, according to your own standard, you don't and cannot understand the word of God.
In other words, you don't know those languages. Who are you trying to kid? Anybody can go behind the veil and study a certain portion of scripture in Greek and Hebrew, but do they write and read Hebrew? No. By the way, these are two dead languages. God foresaw. He sees everything, past, present, and future. And he declares the end from the beginning. They don't understand that God is omnipresent and lives in past, present, and future. He's eternal. Isaiah 57:15, the high and lofty one, for example, it says, let's read that, Isaiah, and it's chapter 57. Notice verse 15. "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." There it is. He's not trapped in time or space. He is, has always been, and always will be. He inhabits eternity, whose name is holy.
I dwell in the high and lofty place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. There you go. God's only going to give the knowledge and the understanding of his word truly and in the right spirit to those who are a contrite and humble in spirit. That's who he dwells with, not people that are arrogant and running around trying to catapult themselves and elevate themselves over others because they're taking a Hebrew and Greek course and so nobody else knows the word of God because they do, and you know, everybody else needs to succumb to them and bow down and come to their church and they have a degree hung up like an idol on their wall, etc. I've been around this stuff for numerous decades, saints, as many of you have. Had the pleasure of, how about had the displeasure of being involved in two Bible colleges and with what, thousands of people in ministry. And so they produce threefold or twofold children of hell as themselves. They manufacture other self-righteous, hypocritical, religious dupes like themselves, according to Matthew 23, where Jesus, one of the things he says of the false priesthood of his day, and that same is for today, and because there's no new thing under the sun, is that they produce after their own kind. And in fact, there is a group called, what is it, Institute of Biblical Studies. And this is what they advertise. And they have all kinds of people that are probably very novice, but very deceived, pushing their stuff online. They said this, know the Bible as you've never known it before. Look through the window of the original Hebrew to gain a deeper understanding of the text. Sign up now. Uncover hidden meanings in the scriptures by learning biblical Hebrew, not just Hebrew, but biblical Hebrew, and engaging with the Old Testament as never before. You know, you can hear that narrated with this music behind it and everything. That's their script right there. I just read it to you. It's a sales job, folks. I'm not saying that looking into the Hebrew and Greek, which I've done myself for decades, as most of you have, is anything bad. It's a good thing, probably, overall. You don't need it, that's for sure. But what's wrong is trying to teach people and lie to them to tell them they can't understand God's word in their own language that God translated it into, because they don't know the original languages from which the English translation, the King James Bible, was derived. This is absolutely manipulation and witchcraft. And there are people going around saying that we don't have God's word for today. They're denying, and they're agnostics, if you will, denying that we have the preserved word of God in our language. Let me give you a passage that's going to be all important here. It's going to be Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. Listen to this. The words of the Lord, this is perhaps the central passage of this whole message. I want you to learn this, beloved. The words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Seven, not six, not eight, not one, not ten, seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. I believe, as millions of others do, and more every day, that God preserved his word to the English-speaking peoples in the King James Bible. People are always going to come against the real word of God. These are people that are under the influence of the enemy. Well, what about other language? I didn't say anything about other languages. I'm talking about the English language. And it's very clear when an honest person does a comparison, which we have numerous podcasts and posts. If you look up safeguardyoursoul.com/Bible-versions-issue, or just go to the drop down menu on the desktop version and hit B, Bible versions issue, you're going to find a wealth, a treasure trove of biblical truth on this matter. But when you look at the preserved manuscripts, there's like 5,000 in existence. About 95 to 98% of them absolutely agree with one another. The other, what, 1 or 2% of them were perverted and corrupted. And we got a lot of that background information on safeguardyoursoul.com. And so that's how we can know that the King James Bible is a preserved word of God, because it's taken directly. It's not done with what's called dynamic equivalence, where the translators took liberty to decide what they thought God meant. No, it's a direct translation, and it holds the contents of the majority, the 98 percentile of manuscripts. So, and other things, we got a four verse, a Bible verse comparison. I don't think it's possible that anybody that's truly of the Lord could read those verses and compare them in the King James to any of these new versions and still believe the King James Bible isn't the preserved word of God. I just don't think you can do it if you're an honest person. I'm going to go ahead and say that as my opinion. When you're removing the blood of Jesus from Colossians 1:14, you know, I've shown hundreds or even thousands of people that harpoon verse. I always remember that one and a couple of other ones. And I ask them, do you okay with the blood of Jesus being removed from Colossians 1:14 in the new Bible versions? I mean, you are bought with the blood of Jesus, right? You claim to be. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Okay, I don't believe anybody who fears God could agree with that. And I've seen over and on a personal basis, people just, their jaw hits the ground, as mine did when I first started realizing these things. And by the way, on some of the other messages on this topic, I talk about my personal testimony. Nobody told me this. I started finding out firsthand. And by the way, I doubt, I'm just talking as a man, in my discernment, that any man in ministry that's still not using the King James Bible, I highly doubt this guy is led by the Spirit or has a sincere heart that fears the Lord. Yeah, I said that. Anybody want to deal with it, just email me at info@safeguardyoursoul.com. Something in us, by the Holy Spirit in us, using our conscience that he gave us, should begin to concern us. I mean, I had this guy one time, he was a pastor, and I said hi to him. I had no intention of having a conversation with him about anything like that or anything. I just ran into him, and he started almost immediately attack. I said, hey man, how you doing? Yeah, anyway, I told him I'd visited his fellowship and stuff, and he started in on me. He said, yeah, I've been on your website. I saw about the King James Bible. And I said, really? I let him talk for a while. I said, well, tell me, man, how is it that you're okay? I mean, are you okay with Colossians 1:14 removing the blood of Jesus? And he was still huffing and puffing, and I held his feet to the fire, long story short, and ran him off, man. He was on the run. So what are you running from? You're a pastor. You don't know these things? You got something to hide?
So finally he said,
well, I didn't know Colossians 1:14 to remove the blood. I said, now you're a pastor and you don't even know that? Man, what's wrong with you? I skunked him at that point, and intentionally and unapologetically, because he brought that on himself. You got to be kidding me. You're a pastor and you don't know these things, first of all. And second of all, they don't bother you? I'm talking as a man. I personally really doubt if you really know the Lord. You have no clue of what God, if you touch his word, add to or take away, your name is taken out of the book of life, and you will receive the plagues of Revelation, which include the lake of fire, Revelation 22:18-19. So, again, the next time some arrogant dupe, saints, attempts to convince you that you need to know the original languages. In other words, nah, 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 I got it over you. I understand the Bible and you can't because I understand the Greek and Hebrew. Just have this ready and ask them to go ahead and quote one Bible verse, in Hebrew or Greek. One or the other. Just make it real easy for them. The argument is over. These people are completely deceived. God gave us his word in our language, and he said the Holy Spirit who gave that word is our teacher, capital T, not the original language. Where did Jesus or the apostles say you got to go back and learn the original languages in order to understand God's word? See, we're making this thing into some esoteric cult whereby we withhold the key of knowledge from the common man. And this goes back to what Jesus said, where the leaders take away the key of knowledge. So esoteric means intended for or likely to be understood by only a small number of people with a specialized knowledge or interest. In other words, the so-called elite, the self-appointed kings that seek to reign over others.
And this can be occultic because they have this secret knowledge, so they pretend. And all this does is feed man, sinful man's arrogance, self-righteousness, and pride.
Jesus said, he that humbles himself shall be exalted, and he that exalts himself shall be humbled. Matthew 23, verse 12. So this alone shows you that they're not of God. They aren't humbled before the Lord. They're in it for themselves. They're self-appointed and self-serving. They don't seek to serve Jesus through the crucified life and then thereby lift up others unto him. And Jesus told us, you shall know them by their fruits, Matthew 7, 16 and 20, and by the fruit of those who are running around, you know, claiming and swearing that they understand the Bible because they know Greek and Hebrew. Well, just blow the cover off of that next time by asking them to go ahead and share with you just one verse. You can write it out. You can say it in Hebrew or Greek. I give you your choice. Just one verse. How about a portion of one verse in the Bible in Hebrew or Greek? Laughable. You're going to stop every one of them dead in their tracks. I had another guy recently said, I teach and study Hebrew and Greek. Well, with some of this information I'm sharing with you, I blew the lid off of that real quick. And this guy actually became teachable. These people need to hear this. And, you know, the Bible says in Titus 1:13 to rebuke them. He's talking about false teachers in specific, sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. And I'm going to tell you without apology, I rebuke this type of heretic very sharply because they're very arrogant to do what they're doing. And he says, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. So God wants them to repent too. Now, I'm going to tell you, many of them won't from experience, but you know, you got to hit and run if nothing else and deposit the truth of God in them. And that's your calling from God. It's a mandate for you and I to earnestly contend for the faith delivered to the saints. Amen. Once delivered to the saints, Jude verse 3. So again, the next time somebody attempts to convince you that you need to know the original languages, Hebrew and Greek and or Aramaic, from which we derived our English Bible, the King James Bible, ask them to speak and write just one Bible verse in Hebrew and Greek. This stops them dead in their tracks every time. It's a bunch of foolishness that becomes manifest and exposed. And so by their own definition, the fact that, you know, they say you have to learn the original languages, and then when you pull the plug and pull the rug on that by asking them to go ahead and quote a Bible verse or write one out in Hebrew or Greek, they can't do that. They don't speak and know that language. They're just peering into it like anybody else could do it, and then trying to make it, you know, themselves look like heroes and people that can are more knowledgeable. You know, they want to take away that key of knowledge. They want you to submit to them. They want you to, you know, jump when they say something, and whatever their interpretation is, they want you to bow down to it. But by their own definition, they can't understand the Bible because they don't know the original languages. And as we're saying in this message, there is no reason to learn the original languages. God gave you his word and your language. And as he promised, and he kept his promise, saints, God gave us his word in our language, Psalm 12, 6 and 7. And oh, Jesus says that his written word and his Holy Spirit who gave it are your teachers. The Holy Spirit, he said, would lead you into all truth, and he would magnify Jesus. Let's read that. That's going to be John. It's going to be chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. Notice Jesus says, howbeit when he, this was while Jesus was on earth, and at Pentecost, he was going to pour out his Spirit to dwell in every believer. Amen. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, is come, he will guide you into all truth. I'm sorry, what did he just say? The Holy Spirit through the word. Now you got to always, always and forever anchor the leading of the Spirit to the written word of God, saints, because there's also a faction of people out there that run around claiming that they're led by the Spirit without any anchoring and grounding and everything coming out of the written word, who are loose cannons. They're flakes. They're demonic. They're being led by devils, and then they're putting God's name on it. If it violates the word of God, it's of the devil. If it doesn't coincide with and come straight out of the scriptures, it's a lie from hell. Beware. And you can't separate being led by the Spirit with what the Holy Spirit gave us in the scriptures, as we quoted earlier. All scriptures given by inspiration of God. It's God breathed. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, not themselves. You see, when anybody, as we're talking here, is glorifying himself instead of Christ, and that's exactly what they're doing when they're, you know, trying to convince you that they have the key of knowledge. They're the special people. They understand the Greek and the Hebrew. When they don't, it's a lie. They're glorifying themselves, not Christ. Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:5. Memorize that. Paul said, Galatians 6:14, that he was crucified. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross, the crucifixion, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Memorize it. He said he was crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20, 6:14. Okay, and when you're crucified with Christ, and that's the only way to serve God, period. You're not serving God if you're not being crucified with Christ. They that are Christ, again, Galatians 5:24, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. That's the only way Christ can reign in your life. And if he's not reigning in your life daily through the crucified life, you're not going to reign with him eternally. You're not even going to be with him. Well, brother, I prayed and got saved. Okay, that's the start of it. But Jesus says that when you repent and believe on him, you got to deny, from that moment on, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him. That's the only way to follow him. Luke 9:23-24. And by the way, I have not done that perfectly since he saved me. I wish somebody would have told me what I'm telling you right now when he first saved me. This is what water baptism represents. You're dead and buried. You're going under. And you're going to be raised up by Christ. And boy, what a sweet, sweet thing that is, man. That's the only time life's going to get sweet, man. Whether you got a lot or a little, man, you will know how to rejoice in Christ and be content, because you'll have the treasures of heaven in your bosom. Otherwise, you have shame and conviction of sin. Okay, so Jesus tells us here that it's the Holy Spirit that's going to guide you into all truth. Boom! John 16:13-14. So wait a minute. Did Jesus mention that you needed to learn the original languages in which the God knows all things, past, present, and future? He knew that the Spanish-speaking people, the Indian-speaking people, the people of all the languages of Russia and Africa weren't going to have the word in Greek and Hebrew. And he knew that was the original language they were written in, and he's speaking to us. And he knew all that. He knows all things, past, present, and future. And he says the Holy Spirit of truth is going to guide you. He will guide you in all truth. Not these frauds and not the original languages. There's no instruction in the Bible to go learn the original languages. And again, God knew those original languages would not be, for the most part, what the people of the earth, the peoples of the earth forthcoming, were going to understand and know and read the Bible in. He foreknew that his word was going to be translated into other languages. He told us that he was going to preserve it to all generations. Okay, and all generations and people don't speak Greek or Hebrew. This is an indictment against God that he didn't give us his word in our language, as he promised to do. You're the liar, not him. You're the liar. He is the light, and there is no darkness in him. 1 John 1:5. Jesus is the light of the world. John 8:12. And he said right here, John 16:13-14, that the Spirit of truth is come. When he is come, he will guide you into all truth. Again, not the original languages, but the Holy Spirit. And by the way, again, he gave you his word in your language. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come, and he shall glorify me, shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. The riches of the understanding, wisdom, and knowledge of God's word is going to come from the word itself, the lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, is the word of God, Psalm 119:105, and the Holy Spirit who gave that word. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. So let's beware of the doubt casters who are clearly, that's their fruit, the agents of Satan himself, the original doubt caster. Does anybody else have Genesis 3:1 coming to your mind about right now? Hath God said, did God really say that? In other words, Satan told the man and the woman as he spoke to them through the serpent. The idea that English-speaking people need the Greek and Hebrew, two dead languages, is just another complete deception. And it's a casting of doubt on whether or not God did what he said he was going to do by preserving his perfect word to us in our language. Psalm 12:6-7. Okay, you need to know the originals. You ever hear that one? Well, just look up the word originals on the search box on safeguardyoursoul.com. There are other really good ministries that bring to light these fake new versions and all of these lies. Again, in the Garden of Eden, the way Satan got mankind to fall and took his bait, which is what we see now among a lot of people who still take his bait. God gave men free will, is to cast doubt on the words of God, therefore the character of God, Genesis 3:1, hath God said, there it is, casting doubt. First thing he did, then he changed the word of God, verse 4, Genesis 3, when he said, you shall not surely die. God said, you shall surely die if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He was trying to protect the man and the woman, but because they chose to do things their way instead of God's, they leaned to their own understanding. They were, what, wise in their own conceit. It's all pride, based in pride. They didn't trust in the Lord with all their heart and lean not to their own understanding, you know, in all their ways they didn't acknowledge God, and therefore they fell. They took the bait. God had already told them, you shall surely die if you eat of the tree of knowledge good and evil. Satan changed the word right there. He said, you shall not surely die. I call this the lie of the ages. Lie of the ages. That's a book we have in our library at the ministry. It's a profound book. I believe it's a blockbuster. I believe you will too, and as many others have testified because of the word of God in it. And it's called Lie of the Ages. It's, I believe, the only book by that title ever written. It's on Amazon at safeguardyoursoul.com. Let me stop here to say everything that we produce is to help you learn God's word. You don't need us, you need him. And if we don't do anything else, if we get you mad and you walk away, that's fine. I just hope you realize you need to get in the word, man. You do. You. God knew you were going to be listening to this message right now, that you're listening to it. And he wants you to get in his word. That's what he said. Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What else could be more important in your life than the knowledge of God, your maker? Nothing could be to the truly God-fearing person. So, you know, limiting yourself by listening to preachers only, most of which aren't trying to get you in the word, then which you're coming back to them for repeat customers, you know, or just going to church, which you really can't do if you are the church. You don't go to church, you are the church. You assemble with other believers, whether it be one or more, anywhere you are on God's green earth, and the word of God and Christ being magnified in your midst. Amen. So I want to provoke you to love and good works, beloved, to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when you truly love him, you're going to fear him. You're going to obey him by getting in his word and learning all about him. It's his love letter to you, his instructions, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. Amen. Jesus said, what good would it be for a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Mark chapter 8, verses 35, 6, and 7, right in there. So, okay, so where is the perfect word of God? Where is it? Do we have it? Absolutely. Satan's always casting doubt. Here's another one that comes to mind. Oh, but what about the lost books of the Bible? You ever hear that one? What about the Dead Sea Scrolls? None of that changes in any way, not an iota, what we have in the canon of Holy Scripture, which God chose to preserve. And there were certain books left out. That doesn't mean they didn't have some value, but they weren't pure and clean enough, obviously, for God to include in the 66-book canon of his word. Dead Sea Scrolls didn't change anything. We already had the manuscripts. To the other point I made, about the lost books of the Bible. You know, they try to, most of the people or all of them pushing that are like trying to, they haven't even read the Bible itself, okay? But they're going to go ahead and try to make this big deal out of the law. In other words, see, the Bible, we're not limited to the Bible. Don't put God in a box. Anytime you hear some NAR freak say that, NAR, New Apostolic Reformation, cult of witchcraft, that means they simply don't want to adhere to God's word. They don't want to be accountable to God. They want to do things the way they wish to do them and don't want God telling them any difference. So they don't want to hear what his word says. And we are hammering some sacred cows today. Amen. So beware of the don't put God in a box deceivers. It's a bunch of witchcraft. Anyone who uses the don't put God in a box deception, what are they saying by that? They're simply looking to define God any way they see fit because they don't like the way the one true God has defined himself in his word. They're creating a God in their own image is what they're doing. But they're seeking to control the definition of God any way they wish, according to their own unrepentant, sinful, wicked hearts. They're not enduring sound doctrine, which is something every true disciple of Jesus does. He says, yes, sir, Jesus, it might hurt. A lot of this correction, this rebuke, the commands of God to be crucified with Christ and to overcome all sin, that doesn't feel good, but you put him first, not yourself. See, the Bible corrects you. That's one of the four actions we see of Scripture. Doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Amen. They don't want to do that. They're not enduring sound doctrine. Remember what Paul said, 2 Timothy 4:2-4, preach the word. That's it. Just preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reproof, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Why not? Here it is. But after their own lust, there it is, they haven't repented, and so in their hearts are full of evil lust. After their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They want to hear the storytellers who have all these prophetic things to say, so-called. Wolves in sheep's clothing, like Todd White and what's the other guy? Bill what? Yeah, Bill Johnson. You might be familiar with this guy. So many others, you know. They want to listen to these guys tell stories and never preach on hell, repentance, denying yourself, taking up your cross and following Jesus. Never about humbling yourself in the sight of the Lord and letting him lift you up. Never about personal holiness and being holy as God is holy and making yourself ready for the return of Jesus Christ by walking as a humble, broken, poor-spirited disciple. You're never going to hear that stuff out of these people. Why? They're false preachers. They're false prophets. They're warlocks, and they're preaching another gospel. And the Bible says they're accursed, and so is anyone else who is acquiescing to them or following and supporting them. They're bidding Godspeed to the enemies of God, and that makes them the enemy of God and going to hell with them. 2 John 1:10-11. So these people are moral cowards who do not fear God. The Bible says you get the knowledge of God. You get doctrine and instruction and righteousness and correction and reproof from the Scriptures. It is a lamp unto the feet of the disciple and a light unto your path, man. It is your life. Proverbs 4:20-23. Psalm 119. Jesus said, heaven and earth is going to pass away, but my words will never pass away. They'll never be altered. And anybody who tries to alter them, including by saying, don't put God in a box, is as sure for hell as if they were already there. They have removed from the Word of God and taken away and added to, because it doesn't say that. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12. So on the authority of God's word, you can know that they're going to hell. Jesus said, he that is of God hears God's words. And by the way, he put them on record for us from Genesis to Revelation, so we have no excuse. Romans 1:20. Jesus said, he that is of God hears God's words. They don't cast them off and say, forget that. Don't put God in a box. Don't limit him to his word. Oh boy. There you go. That's what they're saying. He that is of God, Jesus said, hears God's words. How do you know who's of God? They hear God's word. They bend their ear. But wait a minute, brother. What if they already believe something and you quote a scripture to them? Well, are they listening to that scripture? Are they willing to take it in and compare it line upon line, precept upon precept, and compare it with all of scripture? If they are, that's a person that's of God. We're all learning. But the minute you see people like the once saved, always saved frauds, they don't want to hear anything that speaks contrary to that. They are not of God. They're telling you, I don't care what the Bible says, okay, other than to grab a few scriptures out of context to fit my self-serving, self-worshiping lifestyle. I don't want to be bothered with having to repent, deny myself, take up the cross daily, and follow Jesus. I just want to believe I'm eternally secure. So I don't want to hear any other Bible verse. That's exactly what they're saying. Okay, there's people that are not of God, according to John 8:47. Jesus, he that is of God, does what? Hears God's words. Then he says to the false religionists of his day and those of today, you don't hear them because you're not of God. You prove you're not of God. If those who don't hear the word of God put eternal life away from themselves, they reject it. Acts 13:46. They reject eternal life. These words are spirit and they are life. Eternal life is wrapped up in the words of Christ, which reveal who he is and what he requires. Begins with repentance. See, so these don't put God in a box. Don't limit yourself to the Bible, basically. They're saying, and the Bible tells us that the scriptures are broad therein. Psalms, his word, his commandment covers everything, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Aren't you so glad that we have the word of God, beloved? Listen to the psalmist. Think he knew God? You better believe it. These frauds today who are saying these things we're exposing do not know the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 96. I have seen an end of all perfection. Apparently, he's talking about among mere men. But thy commandment, that's his words, is exceeding broad. Amen. God didn't leave anything out, saints. All things that pertain unto life and godliness are found in the exceeding great and precious promises of the Word of God. Okay, the Lord defines himself in his Word, in his precious promises, period. Anyone teaching outside of his Word or contrary to it is making a God in their own corrupt image. Anybody detracting you from the Word of God is absolutely a wolf in sheep's clothing. That, saints, there's so much we could say about this. The written text of this post is absolutely incredible. It's explosive. We're just scratching the surface in this podcast. So many people like to listen to podcasts. By the way, we're now on. We have a platform, safeguardyoursoul.com, no spaces, on Google Podcast, on Spotify, and Apple. I want to encourage you to follow the account. In fact, the first, let's see, 3 months, we've gotten over 30,000 downloads. In other words, that's pretty much a whole new segment of people that we're reaching into. And let me stop here to say thank God for those five people that currently have recurring support going for the ministry. We definitely need it, saints. We'd love to have you to pray that we get 10 people. Amen. 10 people to double that. We really need it. We're living on miracles right now. And thanking God to still be afloat, to do his will. The consumption of time and work that has to be done to do all the things that we're doing is not even explainable. I won't go into that. But we're thankful to be afloat at the moment, even though the nostrils may be the only thing out of the water. We're thanking God for it. I want to ask you to thank you for those who are supporting, and also pray that we would get more people committed to get behind the Word of God. That's why we're here, friends. Number one purpose of Jesus and his disciples was to teach and preach the Bible, the Word of God, and that's what he sent us to do in the Great Commission. That's the most important action of the Great Commission. End of Matthew, end of Mark. Here we go. So the originals. Let's talk about the originals. Where is the perfect Word of God? Some would tell you that you have to go back to the originals, right? Well, fact. Let's read a few facts. None of the originals actually exist. Any of the manuscripts we have were copied from the originals with absolute meticulous detail, perfection. That's why 98 percentile of them agree. The other 1 or 2% are corrupted, and they were corrupted by evil men. But the 98 percentile agree, and that's where the King James Bible comes from. So the originals do not exist. This will be new knowledge to these people who say that you have to go back to the originals. What are they really saying? They're really saying, I don't want to believe we have the Word of God, because then I'll have to be accountable and truly repent and truly deny myself and fear God and live and obey and worship him. That's what they're saying. That's what underlies all of this, guys. All right, if you don't hear anything else, you might want to really rewind and listen to that portion again. The second fact here, the originals were never collated together into one book. Hello, you ever thought of that? They were written individually on scrolls, right? So the originals were never collated together in one book. God brought that about when he did that later, when he brought them all together, the books that he chose to be in the canon of his word. Okay, the third fact, originals were written in two now dead languages. Hebrew and Greek are not growing languages. I believe English is probably the fastest growing and largest language in the world now, for example. A dead language means one that's not progressing and growing. Nobody's trying to learn Greek or Hebrew, as for the most part. Everybody that speaks Chinese, Spanish, and any other language is trying to learn English. It's a living language. That's what that means. You can look that up. What is a dead language or something like that? Look it up. Okay, fact. Originals were written in two dead languages. Okay, the next fact. It's Satan influencing some to cast doubt on whether we have God's word in our language. That's what we have going on, as we've explained already. I want you to share this message with other people, saints. I want you to email it, post it on social media. Here we go. Here's the last of the facts in this list. God promised to preserve his word to us in our own language. We already read that. Psalm 12, 6 and 7. Are you calling him a liar? Did he keep his promise to us by preserving his word for us in our life? Yes, he did, in the King James Bible for the English-speaking people. Do you understand English? Yes, you do, right? If you're English-speaking. Did he leave you without his word in your language? The great answer, the blessing, is no, he didn't. And if he gave you his word in his language, he did so you could understand it. And you don't have the necessity of going to the original languages in order to understand what he said to you in your language. Okay, as I look down the written part of this message, it is just so full of good stuff, guys. I can't even begin to scratch the surface of it. You'll want to get into some of that. Some of the memes are really good, too. One of them says, it's got a girl, like her face, she's just like, I don't even know how to define her emotions. But it says, so you claim to not be able to understand the King James Bible in your own native language that you've learned and been speaking from birth, and then you claim that someone needs to study two dead languages to understand God's word? Like, please. Really? So you can't understand it in your own language, English, so now you got to go learn two dead languages? You got to be kidding me. I don't know about you, saints. I want to give God thanks. I'm just going to go ahead and close this message before I get tempted, because there's so much good stuff on this post. I want to just rejoice. By the way, the name of this post is, Do We Have God's Word, or Do You Need to Know the Original Languages? Do we have God's Word? Just put that in the search box on safeguardyoursoul.com and it will come up. Okay, let's praise God as we read Psalm 12, 6 and 7, that He preserved His Word to us, that He kept His Word to give us His Word in our language. The words of the Lord, it says, are pure words as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Do you know that the King James Bible is a fulfillment specifically of this promise in our language? Do you know that the King James Bible is the seventh English Bible? Yes, it started in the first century. English began being called the Gothic language. That was the beginnings of the English language, and they had a Bible, and there are seven Bibles, six before the King James Bible. It's a fulfillment. Notice it's purified. It's been purified seven times, and that can mean probably two things, but one of them is that the English language progressed. It was formulated out of the other languages, and it came into perfection in the time when the seventh English Bible came to be by the inspiration of the Lord, and that would be the King James Bible, the authorized version. Okay, and these included the Bishop's Bible, the Geneva Bible, Tyndale, etc. You can find a list of them. I'll try to do that myself. I know I've got it somewhere. Anyway, we have William Tyndale. He said this. And now what the Tyndale organization has done since William left the earth, he was murdered by the Roman Catholic Church for translating the Bible into the native tongue of the people. He was tried for that heresy, as they called it, choked, impaled, and burned at the stake in 1536. William Tyndale said this, I perceived how that it was impossible to establish the laypeople, the normal person, the average common man, in any truth. He's talking about how, in light of how the Catholic hierarchy ruled over and kept the people dumb. That's what they want to do. That's why they kept the Bible in another language. In fact, it's only in the late 60s that they started doing their masses, which is a catastrophe in and of itself, in anything but Latin. They were doing it in Latin until the late 60s, I believe. Okay, they kept the people in the dark. They don't want them to know the truth, because when you know the truth, it sets you free from the devil, which includes his false religions, such as the Catholic Church. Okay, so in light of that, William Tyndale says, I perceived how that it was impossible to establish the lay people in any truth except the scripture were plainly laid before their eyes in their mother tongue. Wow. So that right there, as we close, is perfect wrap-up for this message, because the whole crux of this is that Satan is trying to get you to believe that somehow you got to go to Bible college, you got to learn the original language. Those are total lies, and they're coming straight from Satan, the one who cast a doubt on the Word of God. God gave you a brain. He gave you a heart. He says in Isaiah 1, come now, let us reason together. He gave you reasoning faculties and gave you His Word in your own language. That's how much He loves you. I want to encourage you, beloved, to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of the truth, and earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. God bless you, saints. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several mini books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and you're
Your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.